Blog Talk Radio.
Today is Hump Day, and this show is Hump Day Headlines. Today is March 4th, 2015. In today's show, we will be talking about several different things that have taken place over the last week, including we will be talking about the Netanyahu speech, some other things that took place in Congress on yesterday and earlier in the week. We will also talk about a couple of Supreme Court cases in the second segment. Also, in the last segment of the show, we will be having what we call the MOS Capitol Report, which will be dealing strictly with Georgia politics and what's going on under the dome in Atlanta. Let's go straight into the Netanyahu speech. Yesterday, Benjamin Netanyahu, Prime Minister of the State of Israel, gave a speech before the joint session of Congress. This speech was somewhat anticipated as a negative thing for the Obama administration, seeing that Speaker Boehner had invited Netanyahu to the United States to speak before Congress without first informing the president. During the speech yesterday, Netanyahu again came here to the United States reiterating his support for stopping any nuclear research or nuclear development from the Islamic Republic of Iran. He's been here several times, and each time Netanyahu has come to the United States, he has, of course, pushed the Israeli point of view that Iran should not have any nuclear weapons, should not allow to have a nuclear program. But at the same time, the United States has been bargaining with Iran over the last couple of years to try to get them to at least scale back their nuclear program. From an editorial point of view, this is a complicated situation as anything is in the Middle East. You have, again, Iran as a sovereign nation. They should have the, you know, any sovereign nation, such as even the United States, has the right to get any type of weaponry that they could buy. And at the same time, as an American, I understand that, do we really want the Islamic Republic of Iran having nuclear weapons, seeing that they may want to use them and they have a lot of terrorist connections? So this is going to be something that we're going to be continuing to watch as how this will break down. And I really think that it was a really messed up situation for Netanyahu to come here, because he has elections coming up in the next 2 weeks. And it may have not been as much as sticking a finger in the eye of President Obama as it was making sure that he solidified his position amongst the Israeli electorate. Next in our segment here, we have there was a bill. The Homeland Security bill yesterday was voted on by the United States House of Representatives, and it's prepared and is now sent to the president for signing. The bill was passed 257 to 167, with all Democrats voting in favor of sending this clean bill to the president. 75 Republicans joined in. If you listen to the mainstream media, it has been touted as a problem for the Republicans having unity within inside of their caucus. But I think we need to look at it as a point of there was actually some bipartisanship on the part of Congress. They actually got something done that did not come out smelling particularly bad from what we're normally getting. Usually one side loses, one side wins. But in this particular case, I think the American people won because Congress worked together and got something done other than what the Republican leadership, which has to date done nothing. So we actually got something done. That's a wonderful thing. One of the things that was really set upon that as I was watching mainstream media is that it's been talked about that the Republicans surrendered to the Democrats. How? I think what the Republicans did was surrender to the American people. Finally, some of them had some sense and understood that. I'm not a fan of Homeland Security under no form or fashion, but to have a whole branch of the government go down again, which has happened several times during this administration, because the Republicans just don't want to play. I think it was a good thing that some Republicans finally decided they were going to be Americans instead of Republicans and push forth a bill that really was going to do something for the American people, which was keep the homeland safe, keep those employees employed, and allowing Homeland Security to be able to continue to plan into the near future. So I think that was a very good thing. Next, it was something interesting as I was sitting back yesterday watching C-SPAN right after the Netanyahu speech, doing the morning reports. Georgia Representative Rob Woodall came to the floor speaking on the Passenger Rail Reform Act of 2015, known as House Resolution 749. This was another piece of surprising bipartisanship that I seen while I was watching C-SPAN. And this particular bill looks to seek to kind of balance Amtrak funding across the United States, putting money where it's needed and taking it from places where it's not as needed. But one of the things I had to disagree with on with Representative Woodall is that he seemed to, in his speech, alluded to the fact that people in the southeastern United States didn't want commuter rail, that it really didn't, you know, we didn't find it attractive. I would like to tell Representative Woodall, I promise you, people in the southeastern United States really would find commuter rail attractive. In the corridor between Charlotte and Atlanta particularly, and I will go even a step farther and say, run that thing all the way to Montgomery. Run it through Atlanta. Run it down through Columbus, Georgia, which has a major military base. And run it all the way to Montgomery. And then from there, we maybe even attach it to, you know, some places in Mississippi and maybe Louisiana. Maybe we would have a need for commuter rail if we was actually building and utilize the fact that we have a lot of highly educated people living in small towns and rural parts of the South that can't actually get to work in some of the larger cities where there's actually some, in some positions, you know, they're looking for people. And some people would love to live in their small towns and be able to work in a large city and make those large city wages. So Representative Woodall, pay attention to that. People in the southeast of the United States may want commuter rail. Just because we don't have it doesn't mean we don't want it. And another thing that while I was watching C-SPAN yesterday that came very interesting as a Democrat is that the Blue Dog Democrat Coalition took to the floor yesterday doing morning reports. And our own congressman from the 2nd District, Sanford Bishop, stood to the floor and made some very, very encouraging remarks that Democrats in the Blue Dog Coalition were looking forward to working in bipartisanship, working for all Americans. And he made a very impassioned speech on the floor about how we as Democrats need to understand our constituencies a little bit better and give them what they want. That was, I mean, from my point of view, being an active member of the Democratic Party, that really just kind of hit a tone with me because I was like, thank you, somebody said it. Because the reason Sanford Bishop is able to hold his district is because he has decided he's going to represent his people, not just the Democratic Party. He will make decisions for the whole 2nd District. And as a good friend of mine likes to call it, the Super 2nd District. And I was very proud to see a Georgia representative from the Democratic Party step up and say something that was positive and not partisan. That's how we win. We win when we start paying attention to what the constituency wants and not what the party wants. Another thing that came out of that was Representative Kurt Schrader from the 5th District of Oregon talked about one of the things that the Blue Dog Coalition and Democrats as a whole might want to start looking at is what he called lunch bucket issues. Issues that look at what everyday Americans are wanting. Everyday Americans are looking for a way to move up, bring back and strengthen the middle class. And he was saying that is only going to be done when we're able to create good jobs again and bring those jobs to the places where they're needed. And then people will, the middle class will begin to grow, consumer spending will increase. And again, we won't have to depend so much on those earned benefit programs that we are finding so contentious in today's political environment. That was very, very, you know, I was sitting there while I was watching C-SPAN yesterday, noticing that there was talk of bipartisanship, something that you don't hear about in the mainstream media. The mainstream media is loving this whole idea of let's lock it down, let's talk about the gridlock, let's polarize the political parties even more. Whereas we do recognize there is a definite difference between the Democrat and Republican parties, that we can come to common ground. We've done it for so many years, and all of a sudden we get Barack Obama becomes president, and what happens? We have major issues take place that cause us to lose our way. America has had some issues with being able to work together. So we really, really must start looking at ways to deal with this gridlock. And talking about bipartisanship, I think, is a very good step forward in being able to work with the Republicans in the House of Representatives and in the Senate. Next, we are going to talk about something that a lot of people haven't paid a lot of attention to in recent days, but the Supreme Court has decided, right now talking about a lot of different cases that have come up, particularly with the arguments have started today dealing with the Affordable Care Act. The case is called King versus Burwell, and it's dealing with the mandate side of the subsidies that are dealing with the Affordable Care Act. And the Obama administration has stated that there is no backup plan. So if they decide at any point in time to let this go, then what we have is Americans losing health care coverage. That will be a very messed up thing. I just myself signed up for my subsidized Obamacare, Affordable Care Act, and I'm not looking forward to losing it if something happens. I think that it will be very bad business for the Supreme Court to strike this bill down under any circumstances. Second, we have in the Supreme Court cases, we have a very interesting case that came out of Arizona. And it seems that there is a case up in front of the Supreme Court that will be hopefully being heard this week about independent redistricting commission. There is an actual case before the Supreme Court from the state of Arizona saying that it is unconstitutional for independent commissions to draw the districts census to regulate after we, counted up our people. And I find it very interesting that we have had this come forth, because if it happens, they're saying that there's going to be a lot of problems with election laws, particularly dealing with precinct voting, a lot of different things that progressives have fought for over the last couple of years have taken place, and that wouldn't necessarily be a good thing at all. So we have to be watching, and hopefully the Supreme Court will not strike down those independent commissions, because in actuality, independent commissions are some of the only ways that we get some fair districts drawn. So let's be watching that very closely as we go in there, as the Supreme Court goes through arguments this week. Also, another interesting piece that I was reading as I was going through things that was in front of the Supreme Court, that it actually was read on, that was actually a decision was brought down earlier this week, was a case of the Vaccines versus Clean the Oscar Act. That basically what happened was there was a fisherman in Florida who the game warden came aboard his ship, seemed to hit caught a couple of flounders that were underweight. And so he told him to crate these flounders up and take them back to shore so they could document it. Well, the fisherman decided that he wasn't going to comply, and what he did was he threw the fish overboard and placed some other fish in the case, which that's illegal. And basically what they charged him with was a federal statute that normally is used for banking and Wall Street cases for when they shred up evidence and stuff of that nature. And it was like, really? That's what they, this guy only did for some fish, and they tried to say, well, it was the same thing as this, and we really need to, you know, charge him like we would the banks. Well, guess what? We didn't do this to Enron. We hadn't went after Goldman Sachs using Wall Street loans. So this guy actually decided to fight the system and took it all the way to the Supreme Court. And from what I understand from reading the briefing, maybe some legal mind needs to explain this to me, but the guy actually won his case, and with the Supreme Court saying that it was not the same thing. That their courts have been basically, the lower courts, particularly local and state courts, and some federal courts have been over punishing people using laws that were not necessarily meant to be used in certain cases just so they can make sure they got the conviction. And which is a very, very important thing to understand, that because this happens a lot in America, where they basically do this thing called stacking charges. The DAs and solicitors will throw everything they possibly can at you so they can get a conviction to stick. So they arrest you, you go in, and I mean, it's just one of those things that we have to watch for in our country to make sure that people are not abusing the law, because we see it all the time. We see it not only in when we're talking about our police forces overstepping their bounds sometimes, but also we're talking about officers of the court. They're going in, they're taking it, and they're basically, when we say street, they're doing too much. They're doing too much. It's just like you got the case of the young man who sold less than $20 worth of weed. Was it two joints, I think they say the guy had? And he gets 20 years in prison, never really been in trouble before, nothing of that nature. And it's like, hey, we're going to throw a book at you, and we're going to make sure that you do this time. When do we stop in America having the crime, the punishment fit the crimes instead of the punishment? We take and make the crime fit the punishment. you know, instead of saying, okay, it's a misdemeanor case, people are charging you with felonies. In my humble opinion, you know, industrial prison complex, that's all I got to say on that. Next we have dealing with the Supreme Court again, but this time I'm talking about the Alabama Supreme Court. The Alabama Supreme Court, again, has ordered its probate judges not to issue same-sex marriage licenses. Where does the state of Alabama, when is the state of Alabama going to get it? Stop being on the wrong side of issues dealing with the federal government. Your fault, we know that they fought intensely segregation, the integration of schools. We've seen it time and time again. I mean, when are we going to get some, when is Alabama going to get it? When is Alabama finally going to sit there and go, hey, you know what? We need to do something different. We need to stop being the armpit of the United States. We have 35, 37, 38, maybe 39 different states now saying same-sex marriage is legal and that it is, you know, constitutional, and it's the right thing to do. Now, I'm not gay. I don't want to get gay married. It doesn't bother me. If two people love one another and can provide an environment in which they can love and take care of one another, so be it. Why do we got all these haters? I mean, it really just gets, Alabama just stay straight hate. I'm just going to say it like the Alabama stays straight hating. They, you know, I know a few good things that come out of Alabama. They all Democrats. Hey, we need to do something about that. So, dealing with, you know, like I said, we got a lot of interesting things in front of the Supreme Court. A lot of things that we're going to be watching, hopefully, over the next couple of weeks while we're doing the show, we'll be able to give you an update on some of these things. It's quite interesting to watch our federal government go through the steps of the things that they're doing to try to basically keep us honest, you want to say, from a legal and constitutional standpoint, and a lot of the things that are taking place up in the House of Representatives. So, we got a little technical issue taking place, a little bandwidth issue. And we're gonna talk a little bit about it since I brought that up. A lot of folks paying attention to the ruling from last week with the Federal Communications Committee, you know, net neutrality. I mean, I've actually seen it with my own two eyes dealing with my computer here, in which I have certain websites that load up a whole lot quicker than others, particularly when you finna pay one of the big boys some money. That thing moves. When it know you going to a site in which you fixing to pay some money, that thing moves like the wind. You can't get it to stop. Lord, I mean, it's done. But if you're trying to go somewhere else, then you're not going to spend any money just getting some information. It takes forever for a news site to load up if it's not a subscription site. If you're looking, anything that does not have a donate button or a shop here button takes forever to load up. And I think that's what that bill was trying to get to was that everybody's not on the Internet to spend money. Some people are there just to get information. Some people are there just to enjoy themselves. And you had the big boy saying, hey, let's be able to throttle back and control that speed for certain providers, for certain content and other content. That was wrong. I'm glad that the FCC filed in favor of the little man and those, particularly those people who are trying to get into the game of cyberspace, small web companies. Some, just like mine, here at Cloud Pisces, you know, we couldn't afford to pay the big boys money just to make sure our content gets streamed at the same speed that everybody else gets content gets streamed at. It would just break small companies and bring out new innovative ways to use the internet. I mean, it's just crazy. Next we got coming up here in our next segment. After this next, we're going to take a small break, and we'll be right back. Hump Day headline. Our next segment is sponsored by Matters of State Strategies. This is the Matters of State, the MOS Capital Report. Matters of State is a political, progressive political consultancy based here in Atlanta, Georgia. I suggest that if you are in politics, looking to fund a campaign, you're doing advocacy work, if you're looking to have a nonprofit that has a campaign that needs to be done, you need government affairs work, go check out MOS at MOSstrategies.com. Okie dokie. Dealing with what's going on and under the Gold Dome. First thing up, RFRA. We all know it's the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, sponsored and supported by my state senator, Josh McCoon. Yesterday, RA was able to get passed out of committee, which had been stuck there. Last week, we felt a little hope because there looked like there was a tad bit of a rebellion inside of the committee, and the issue got tabled. Then, yesterday, Senator Ford and the other Democrats was like, hold on, you know, do we have time to go to the bathroom, take a bathroom break, tend to some business, because I guess this thing was taking a little while. They had been in there like an hour already. They said Senator Ford had downed a couple of bottles of water, you know. So it was like, I need to go to the restroom, take care of some business, we'll be back. Well, I guess after all the Democrats got out of the room and everybody else that was in opposition to this bill being passed out of committee, the chairman, Josh McCoon, calls this to the table, calls the vote to pull it off the table and passes it. Now, from what I understand, Democrats heard what was going on and attempted to get back into the room to get the vote in, their vote in, and came in and found out they were too late. Now, from what I understand, there was nothing illegal or unethical by the rules for what Chairman McCoon did. But, however, the last time I seen that happen, if anybody with votes took place, the person in charge lost their job. Because that's low down and dirty. Whether or not the rules allow it or not, you just took away the voice of half of the people of the state of Georgia by discounting the votes of those Democratic senators that were in the room, that was supposed to be in the room. They talked to you, they asked for your permission to leave, and you pulled that kind of crap. Shame on you, Senator McCoon. You know that I will call you out. You know I ain't got no problem with that. This was bad politics. This was bad decision making. And I hope this bill gets crushed, because there's been too many low-down tactics that's been taking place to get this one bill passed. They try to add an amendment to make sure that discrimination will not take place, and they kill old. So what's the real deal? As far as I remember, the First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States protects my religious freedom, or not to be religious at all. Why do I need a religious freedom
act to protect me from me? Who am I being protected from? I mean, I'm not scared of the atheists. The atheists are not scared of me. I'm not scared of the Jewish population, the Muslim population. But I am, as a Christian, somewhat scared of my fellow Christians sometimes because we're not being very Christ-like. You know, we don't have a, you know, we don't love our neighbor anymore. We're looking for different ways to discriminate against our neighbor, to have our neighbor, you know, thrown in jail, have our neighbor embarrassed, have our neighbor just not paid any attention to whatsoever. If he don't think like me, I don't like him, don't want to see him. That's what this bill basically says to me. And I know it says that to a lot of people. So it's what says that I got a business owner who believes that Ham, the descendants of Ham, are cursed people and don't want them in their shop. Guess what? He does not have a legal balance to discriminate against black people. Because there you have some Christians who believe that. Seriously. That the descendants of Ham are African Americans and that we're cursed. So that means that somebody has the right to discriminate against me? Oh, no. The Civil Rights Act is going to put a stop to that. This bill needs to be voted down. It needs to be voted down quick, fast, dirty, in a hurry. Please call your senator. Call your house rep, because if it makes it across, if it makes it across from crossover day, it needs to die. Just like it did last year. Second thing up on the we got here, again coming out of the state senate, there was hearings yesterday on no-knock warrants. You got two bills, two Senate bills sitting in front of the in that committee right now. SB 45 by Senator Ford called Bob-Bow's Law, and SB 159. Both bills look to restrict no-knock warrants. However, you have two camps that have seemed to have formed up. With one particular camp, which I found interesting, was bringing forth OCGA 17-5-27, which requires officers to give a verbal notice before using force. Therefore, they, this particular group is saying that no-knock warrants are not codified by the Georgia Code. Basically saying that you cannot have a no-knock warrant because you have to announce yourself that you're coming before you enter any situation in which force may be used, and that's under Georgia Code. And then you got other groups saying that if federal and state precedents being set that allows no-knock warrants, and you actually have some policemen that are saying, hey, I would like not to have no-knock warrants because basically what it does, it increases the chances of there being either some law enforcement officers being hurt or innocent bystanders being hurt. They will prefer that they go in and that somebody announce themselves before going into these houses. Again, we have the war on drugs being fought here in America using military tactics. You have guys stacking at the door, going in using special forces techniques, flashbang grenades, just then other clear rooms like they're still seeing six against civilian populations. What's the point? You know, and in a lot of these situations in Georgia where we've had several situations where they are knocked on the door and they're in the wrong house. You know, they say these, you know, well, that's a rarity. But any time in America that people's privacy and their rights are being violated, one time is one time too many. And however they run that needs to be something that we need to be paying attention to. SB 45 and SB 159, no knock warrants. That's something that we really need to be paying some attention to because, again, freedom is very important, and the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution of the United States is just as important as the First, the Second, all the way down to the 25th and 26th Amendments. So there's no-knock warrants there. We need to do something about that. Next on our list here, statehood. We had several bills dropped this week. You had a bill for the city of South Fulton dropped. You had La Vista Hills drop. You had Tucker drop. And you had Stonecrest drop. So we now have one city in South Fulton, three in DeKalb County, and also reading in the newspapers this morning, a new city has emerged in DeKalb County, the city of Winship. No maps exist yet, but a legal notice was posted in DeKalb County on yesterday talking about this new city. Nobody, like I said, seen any maps, so we don't know if it's taking up any of these islands of unincorporated DeKalb County that's left now, or is there any type of overlap from cities that already have maps? This surely makes this a more interesting situation than it already was. Now, I don't know the deal with the cityhood movement in Fulton as much as I do the cityhood movement in DeKalb County. In DeKalb County, we look like we just have, it's a race to balkanize. We got land grabs taking place. And I hear the arguments all over the side of people who want to form cities. That, you know, you already had cities on the north side formed, and they've caused an increased tax burden to the people of South DeKalb, and they carry more of a burden than they used to. And then you have some groups that are talking about how, you know, the school system and the Druid Hills cluster, and you also have people talking about the corruption that takes place in DeKalb County government. Now, this is the question that I have. If you have corruption in your government, and this is the United States of America, and we go to the ballot box every November for something, why don't you vote the corrupt people out? Why do you keep sending them back to office, allowing the government to become more corrupt? The same political class exists regardless if it's a city, a county, a state, or a federal government. So when you form these new cities, is there going to be some amazing crop of righteous people going to show up to lead the political communities of these new cities? I promise you that the people that are leading coming from the same cloth. Politics is politics is politics. You know, as a person who works inside of the political sphere myself, is anybody new that is non-political that is not a party that's going to jump up into this game and say, hey, and make a pledge that we're never ever going to have any type of corruption scandal. We're going to run our government at such a high ethical level that we're going to be the model of every government in the United States? Is somebody saying that now? Because if they're not, then all I see is that there's being more cities created for the simple fact of creating more political offices. Too many hands in the cookie jar. Too many hands in the cookie jar. Not saying that these cities are not being looked, but everybody doing it now. It's like Jordan's came out. Everybody lining up at the door to get a city. The second question is that I'm not a stupid man. I read a lot, and I've always been interested in how states and governmental entities and cultures and stuff are developed, and particularly cities. And I've read a lot on how cities develop, and I don't see anything in these cities that are coming up that says that these are viable cities. And I see that everybody's going up getting they do a viability study and this, that, and the other, but guess what? I haven't seen a viability study come back yet that doesn't say that there isn't a chance. Now, my question is that you already have a lot of empty commercial space in DeKalb County, regardless of its north side and south side. The government takes over the majority of it and tries to use this government space, which really doesn't solve the problem of this commercial property, because they're not coming in and businesses are not being, private industry is not being created. It's socialism. Yeah, I'm a Democrat, and I say that. It's socialism. because Democrats are not socialists. But when you do that kind of thing in socialism, socialism does not work. What you end up with is a top-heavy government that cannot take care of itself, that then has to borrow money, and then that money has to be paid back. And how that money gets paid back is through increasing the taxes on the people who live in those cities. I've been reading a lot of reports. Nobody's told me what industries are they trying to, are they going to bring in. How are these cities going to get their startup money? I mean, not saying it shouldn't happen, but I will try to save DeKalb County first. Fix the government entity of the DeKalb County Commission. Anything that needs to be fixed with the DeKalb County school system by going to the ballot and voting and putting new people in charge, because if we don't, we're basically multiplying the problem. Next, we're going to talk a little bit about HB 170, the transportation bill, which is one of those things that, you know, people are talking about. You really need to keep an eyeball on it. But one of the bad things, particularly from this perspective, is that basically we turned down T-Splash. Now, we knew that they were going to come back with something. And instead of charging the people directly, then they're going to charge us through our city and county government. This money that they're going to be using, which we know we need infrastructure. Infrastructure is badly needed. You can ride around anywhere in the state of Georgia, particularly outside of the city of Atlanta, and you can see all kinds of things that need to be done from an infrastructure point of view. I mean, there's some counties that are still 50% dirt road. And you're now going to keep these counties from being able to develop their local infrastructure by taking and bringing all of that out and distributed it probably most likely into the metro, which I ain't got no problem with that either, because the metro does need its infrastructure built up too. But they should not be on the backs of small city governments and counties that are already suffering. You already got it where you got counties that are unable to take care of their school system, they're unable to provide certain services. And they, you know, are trying to keep their tax, their meal rates low, so they ain't got to overtax their citizens. But what we're going to end up having is taxes are going to go up on the people of Georgia either way, but the House of Representatives and the state Senate are too scared to go out and say, hey, we need to raise taxes. The Republicans are raising taxes on you either way. They're just going to make it hurt for the local guy so that they can swear up and down and put their hand up and say, we didn't raise taxes. It's a bait and switch game, people. They're moving, there's a ball up under the coconut shell, and they're moving it around so it doesn't look like their hands are dirty. That is something that is nobody's really paying any attention to whatsoever. What is really going on with this transportation bill? They want to tell us one thing, but they're completely doing another, and that's been the theme of Georgia politics, it seems. Okay, there's enough on that for that particular round on 170. Next, we got SB 63, the Big Jobs Bill. A lot of you probably are not following this one, but it says a lot about what the party that is in charge right now is really about. What this bill is basically, a lot of people that are beer drinkers, and I'm one of them, we enjoy craft beers, the smaller breweries that are doing some wonderful things when it comes to brewing beer. It's one of those things that I personally would love to do as a hobby is learn how to brew my own beer. But what you do is you have smaller breweries that are asking for the ability to be able to sell amounts, to sell their beer directly to the customer without going through the wholesaler. And basically what you have is a three-tiered system inside of the of alcohol distribution in the state of Georgia. You have your producers, your distilleries, and your brewers. Then you have your wholesalers, and then you have your retailers. And this was done after Prohibition was lifted to keep the large national breweries from coming in and taking over the whole game. They didn't want, it's like a separation of powers deal. The guy who makes it can't distribute it, and he can't sell it without a middleman, which is the wholesaler. So you can realize from a small shop point of view why this may be something that they want to be able to skirt around, because it's probably, it's most likely that it's costing them money to deal with the wholesalers. The wholesalers control the system. They can block, push out, influence the whole game. Not very free market sounding, is it? I'm a guy, I start a business, I want to be able to sell. Because I'm selling beer, I got to go through all these different steps to do it. Now, they've weakened, they've lessened the regulation on wine. Again, wine is usually something that we think of when we're thinking about drinking. We think wine as being something that is more upper class. Well, beer is the working man brew. That's the working man's drink. He's not getting it at the price he want to be able to get it. He might want a craft beer, because beer drinkers are real particular about their beer. So I think it would be a good thing for these small guys to be able to get out there. Be able to go to their brewery, you take a trip, you like it, you go out there and get educated, you take the tour, because these places are really, really nice to go through, because there's so much craftsmanship that takes place. So then you see, when you leave it, when you like them to leave with something? Right now what the bill is going with, they're talking about maybe you can leave with the equivalent of a 12-pack right now. And I don't know if that's a good or bad thing, but what's going on is that it's being held up by the lieutenant governor and some of his people who happen to have, according to some open records deals that are going on here, that seems to be a lot going on with who's donating what. But we see like $43,000 of lobby money from the wholesalers have went down through the campaigns of some of the main opponents to this bill, the lieutenant governor and the governor themselves. You know, everybody's hanging out with big business, it seems like. So that's something that we really need to be paying, or something that we need to pay attention to. Again, not because the bill does something wonderful for the people of Georgia, but it really does something that shows you the hand of the ruling party right now and the difference between their talk and their walk. Claim to be free market capitalists, but all you see is corporate socialism, where they are attempting to control they're in cronyism, where they're attempting to control the economy in such a way that they and their friends and people that they are favorable with, the people who donated to their campaigns, are the only ones who benefit from the economy here in Georgia. With that being spoken on, that leads me into medical marijuana. HB1 passed the House and went to the Senate this week, and also HB7 dropped. Now, if we got to have something between the two bills, and I got to have one or the other, and which one is going to make the most benefit, I'm going to say HB1, because it's going to help kids who are, it's going to help kids in a certain condition, whatnot, that the cannabis oil will help. If I got to get something this session, that's what I'll take that. However, we have a major blockage taking place over what? Who's going to grow it? Who can distribute it? Again, growth distribution. It ain't really about helping nobody. It's about the money-making side of it. Who's going to make the money? The same thing is ever, I promise you, the moment that the people who are in charge figure out how to make the money, we will then see legalization here in Georgia. SB 7, SB 1, either way it goes, we will see finally when we figure out who's going to make the money. Now, if the Republicans are truly free market capitalists, then they will just pass the bill and allow people to go out there and partake in the free market and allow people to grow it, sell it, and whoever comes out the big dog, let the jungle sort it out. But they're not free market capitalists. They're corporate capitalists. They're corporate socialists. With that being said, let's talk about what's trending on social media. Right now, if you're looking at your social media tracking and what's trending, I'm first looking at, you know, what's trending. Facebook has this nice little trending thing that goes on today. And if you look right now what's trending, particularly to what my, I guess my settings are, you'll see Ferguson is trending at the top on Facebook right now. Because the Justice Department has cleared Darren Wilson from the fatal shooting of Michael Brown. We talked this over. You know that we know that was coming. No surprise there. We know that we talked about today the Supreme Court hearing the challenges to the Affordable Care Act. Daniel Von Bergen, actor known for roles of Seinfeld and Malcolm in the Middle, reportedly died at the age of 64 today. Feral cats in Japan. They say that the cats outnumber the humans 6-1. For you kitty cat lovers, boy, get over there with your cameras and let's put up a bunch of cute little Facebook pictures of kittens. Hillary Duff discusses divorce and addresses Aaron Carter's tweets about their past relationship. Ooh, Hollywood dish. Isn't that just interesting? Mary State University shows a picture of John Lauder's high-leg wind-up kick during his baseball game. Mm. Aaron Hernandez, prosecutors in ex-NFL player's murder trial to show jury text messages he sent to the victim. Boy, Aaron, you about to get it. I hope you ain't saying that was too incriminating. On Rikers Island, some good news. Prisoners do good things sometimes. Inmates in the New York City prison reportedly stopped a sexual assault against a guard at Rikers Island. We've seen a couple of cases in the last couple of months of inmates in prison saving their guard. They're good people in prison. You think? Well, the fact that you got people going to prison over the war on drugs and then we just packing them up in there so that private prisons can make money, that might be some people with some good hearts up in there. Something very sad report that's trending. Fulton County, Georgia, here in the Atlanta area. Police officer dies after being shot in the head by a suspect, officials say. I've seen this trending on, also on Twitter, and the scene had come up on the news stations here in the Atlanta area. So that's, I mean, the heart goes out to the family of that fallen officer. And it's never a good thing to have our law enforcement officers die in the line of duty. Another thing that has been trending, on a similar note, is that in Lakeland, Florida, or down in Florida, there has been a shooting, an ambush that has taken place. Basically, from what I'm reading, you had a young man take and ambush two officers and kill the two officers. From one of the last story I've taken that I've read, that they have since then found the guy. There's been a shootout. I'll have to go back and and checked it out and verified, but he has they have come in confrontation, and I think that the suspect is now dead. I will post up on social media and verify that later after the show. Other things we got trending on Twitter right now, of course, Darren Wilson is trending first. Don't Take My Care, which is trending about the Affordable Care Act argument taking place in front of the Supreme Court. Hashtag King versus Burwell, again, talking about that particular Supreme Court case, Ferguson PD. Oh, and our boy Ben Carson. What is up with this guy? Ben Carson, presidential hopeful, again, sticks foot in his mouth constantly. But my thing is, what's the fascination with the Republican Party and Ben Carson? Is it Obama guilt? You're going to ask me what's Obama guilt. Basically, you got some Republicans who are basically saying, no, this is the policies that Obama has that makes us not like him. It's not because he's black. See, he liked Ben Carson. Really? Ben Carson? You had Herman Cain. If y'all were going to pick an African-American to be the poster child of the Republican Party, why don't y'all get somebody like Colin Powell or Condoleezza Rice, somebody that we all respect, some people who don't put foots in their mouth. They, I mean, come on. You've never seen Condoleezza nor Colin say stupid stuff, and black folks as a whole, we still kind of respect them. You know, and I think as a nation, we respect them. I mean, so Ben Carson, yeah, he's a doctor, but he says kind of crazy stuff that make you want to go back and look and say, hey, is that medical degree real? Twitter's also trending Chris Brown, Marathon Sports, hashtag PMQ. I don't know what PMQ is, but it's trending. And then you got Josh Smith and McCoy trending. Those are the trendings on Wednesday, March 4th, 2015. And with that, this is Hump Day Headline. I'll ask you to please tune in again next week as we continue to go back and forth about the different things that are happening from the federal to the state level, giving you what's going on and some things you didn't know that was going on. Also, take and tune in on Sundays for the Down South and Dirty with Scout Smith Show, which is the flagship show of Down South Radio. This is Hump Day Headlines, and we'll see you again next Wednesday.